Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And this episode is a very special interview, one that's very close to my heart, with a dear friend, Tia Green. And we're talking about building a business around what you love. And Tia is a marketing visionary, a PR expert, an out-of-the-box thinker, a lover of luscious experiences, creator and TV personality, and founder of Liba PR. She is an expert at helping business owners in coastal and mountain resort towns thrive amid these crazy uncertain times. She also happens to be a good friend and someone I was fortunate enough to meet at a local networking event and invite to my famous Memorial Day barbecue. So welcome, Tia. It's such a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Deb. I feel really honored to be here with you today and just sharing the love of building businesses and helping others thrive.
And sharing the love. And it is, you just like radiate the love. Whenever I'm in your presence, it's impossible not to feel loved by you when we're around you. You're an amazing person. And we were just talking before we hit record, and I realized I know very little about your background and what led you to be where you are today. And I know you didn't have the traditional life after corporate experience. So tell us about your entrepreneurial journey and why you founded Liba PR.
Oh, man. Yes, Deb. So one of the many things that I love to tell people when they do ask about this story is it started when I was 21 years old. I decided to launch, at the time, a marketing and PR agency. And what led me to do that, I was interning in college with a sports marketing firm. And they actually inspired me because the gentlemen in this firm, they were 22, 23, and 24 years old. And I was kind of taken back in a way. I'm like, wow, they're so young and they're moving and shaking and they're making things happen in the sports marketing world. And they landed Chevrolet as one of their first clients. And that's when they brought me in as a paid intern to do external marketing and promotions at sporting events. So in the midst of everything, I was still in college. I was enjoying working with them. And once I graduated college, I stuck around, moved to Atlanta. I went to college down in Florida. So moved back up to Atlanta and continued to be their voice at the Braves games. And then I would give them insight because I realized a lot of people who they were attracting, especially their audience, they didn't really take what we were giving them. And I could tell the client, Chevy, wasn't as happy either. So I decided to bring it to their attention, what we should be doing. And they're like, no, that's not going to work. And then I thought to myself, I need to do this myself because in my world, there is no box. I believe that it's not the sky that's the limit. The universe is the limit. So several months later, I connected with my mentor and amazing partner. His name is Courtney Gray, and he runs a marketing and brand company called Sarah and Malcolm. And he gifted me my first business, which meant he built out my website, helped me develop my story, my direction, a family friend took all my photos so I can have photos to tell my story. And throughout that time, the first year and a half, I realized, again, I was 21, not going to tell anyone my age. My parents told me to not tell anyone your age. Oh, and I forgot to mention this too, Deb. I was a nanny at the time.
Oh my
gosh. So
I
was a full-time nanny managing three families, three single moms families. I actually moved in with one of them. So I had five kids Monday through Friday. And I had to balance that along with running my business. And I did my business full time too.
Totally. That's like being a working mom at 21 years old.
So imagine between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m., I had to do everything I can from Monday through Friday, and then I had the weekend to do the rest. And one moment that really, really gave me my setback and really thinking about why I should stop doing what I was doing with the first initial business I had was one of my clients was a well-known film festival in Miami. And I really loved working with them. I was coordinating their 10-year anniversary. Everything was great. And my interns were rocking and rolling. And I was flying back from Miami and Atlanta. And at that time, I can say I was like a jet setter in some places because I was literally flying Friday, come back to Atlanta on Sunday enough, just in time to get the kids home from school.
That's crazy. It's yeah. it's like every college grad's dream.
Yeah. And I remember in a meeting, I slipped up my age. At that time, I was 22. And my client looked at me and said, "What?" I was like, "Oh man." I was like, "Yeah, I'm 22 years old." And my interns were there too. And several of them were in their like 18, 19. And I had two of them that were like 26, 27. And they looked at me. And I was like, "Here we go." So from then, that's when I was taken back, because after that moment, he would invite me into board meetings with other marketing and PR professionals, asking me questions. And I would literally lay it down to them. And they're like, "All right, you know what you're talking about. Let's move forward." So to me, I felt it was a little bit of age discrimination. And that was actually a learning lesson for me, is just to do what I love and really being a voice of individuals that believe in me, and they won't care about the color of my skin and they don't care how old I am. Mm-hmm. So after that moment, I decided to scale back. And there was another moment because I was representing a lot of recording artists. I would see things happen that was unethical to me in my faith because I'm a believer. And I decided to dissolve my first business because of that. I had a fire.
So let's circle back a little bit before you go on to your next business. And I'm very curious about what growing up was like for you that gave you so much courage and confidence. And it sounds like your parents were 100% behind you. Were they entrepreneurs? Did you have an example of what it's like to just jump off and start your own business?
Yes. My parents, they literally started their own business they were 21 and 22. 22 and 23 when they started their business in Minnesota. My mom was a travel agent and she decided to take a leap of faith and open up her own brick and mortar, which we did in Minneapolis. And my dad was in promotions and he was a recording engineer. So he decided to open up his own business, which was promotions and electric car rental business, which you can imagine they complement each other. A good amount of their audience was entertainers that would buy tickets for my mom and then rent luxury cars for my dad. And my dad would put on events for highly known people in the Minnesota area. And I was just 5, 6, and 7 years old watching my parents thrive. And I remember being, because they had 4 locations in under 4 years. People were really impressed with that. And I remember being at their newest location and I was helping my mom and my dad set up their offices, the chairs. And you remember the knapsacks that they had in the 90s where your passports would go in and you would take it across, take it abroad with you? Like,
sure.
Like the lanyard. So we had a ton of those. We had a marketplace in the travel agency. My parents were innovators, I'll tell you that. So I would help do displaying at 7 years old. I'm like, "I think they should go here."
So this was just in your blood. I mean, there was no question in your own mind, I would imagine, that when it came to graduation, that you were ever going to work for anyone else. This was always your destiny, it sounds like.
Yes. And my parents, they've always encouraged me. Like even in high school, I said, "Oh, I want to be a chef." They're like, "No, you're going to be doing business and you're going to be running your own." I'm like, "No, I want to be a chef." And they were right. So they definitely paved the path for me. And there's a lot of people in my family that are entrepreneurs too, that paved the path for them. So I will say it's a trickle effect in our family.
So tell us about the next stage. What has led you to where you are right now? So we both live in Sag Harbor, New York. You are an icon in our village. You work with so many of the shop owners and small business owners and helping them get the word out. And what I've noticed about you is everything you do has a tinge of innovation to it. It's unusual. It's not the usual PR package. It always has flair. It's frequently event-based. So how did you go from the first business that you had that you closed to where you are today?
Oh man. So that's a bit of a story, but I'll make sure.
Is that a long and winding road?
No, it can't, you know what it is, but I will give you a shortcut. So I decided to launch Liba in 2010, right when I dissolved my first business, but I didn't dissolve my first business until 2011. So while I was dissolving one, I was planning the other. And again, Courtney Gray, he was a part of that transition. And I told him that I really feel like I want to do what I love and be the voice of the people that I love. So that's where Liba comes from, because Liba means love in German. So I was able to just dive deep into the hospitality world, the travel industry, inspirational souls, wellness gems, and specialty boutiques and imaginative authors still under the Liba House. I call it the Liba House because everything that we do here is with love, and it is a house because once you're in, you're family. And I launched Liba officially in 2012. And we were all about community driven. So we're a traditional marketing and public relations agency, but hyper focused on the community. Because I believe if you're not involved in your community, especially as a client, how are we all going to work together and thrive together? So if my client's thriving and the rest of the community is not thriving, that's not good. I want everyone to thrive. I want everyone to be able to celebrate and elevate with each other. So each town that I go into, that's one of my goals for that town. Regardless if the town is a client or not, I want to help people thrive. I want to help our small towns be able to tell their story and really make it proud, really make it loud. You know what I mean, Deb?
Yeah. So tell me, give us a story of something that you've done, could be for Sag Harbor or one of the other towns. How many towns do you work with?
Ooh, so we call them Liba sister cities. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, we worked with Woodstock, Georgia, Roswell, Georgia, the North Georgia Mountains. And mm-hmm. then we started working again back down in Palm Beach, Florida, Missoula, Montana. And now, you know, now Sag Harbor. But I will give you an example of one of the towns that I helped thrive. So it's Woodstock, Georgia. It's a progressive town northeast of Atlanta. And what I did with them was one of our clients had me come in to a meeting. And as you know me, Deb, kind of took over that meeting. it was a Main Street program. And I decided, I'm like, we need to do something for the town because you guys are struggling. This was right after the crash, like 2012. Like it wasn't mm-hmm. really... The town, a lot of shops were closing because there was no one going to shop. A lot of restaurants were closing too. So I said, we need to do something to revive the town. And the mayor looked at me and everyone else was like, okay, what should we do? And I said, I think we should do Friday Night Live or something on Thursday, something to really bring the community back together. And they started doing Friday Night Lives and I was heavily involved in it because of my clients. And making sure that it was themed each time. With us doing that and the media contacts that I had, I was able to land that town like in Forbes, like one of the top 10 progressive towns in like 2014.
Wow, that's amazing. And what effect did that have on that little village?
Oh, they're thriving now. I mean, now they have an amphitheater. It's such a destination. It's not just a place for the community members, but now it's a destination that people go to when they fly to Atlanta because we have because I'm still a part of that community. Mm-hmm. We have breweries. It's like a little Nashville so many great artists come in there and sing away, from country to blues to R&B to pop, rock.
So you really make your mark on a town. So watch out. When Tia Green moves to your town, nothing's ever going to be the same again.
It's true. I might shake a tree or two.
You might. You might.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
that's true.
You know, you've worked in a lot of towns and a lot of cities. And I think it's important for us here today, too, to just highlight some of the challenges along the way, especially as a Black woman business owner. So I'm curious, was there ever a time that you felt the impact of racism as you were growing your business?
Yes. So Liba PR was thriving. I mean, she still is. I call it, she's like my daughter. Up until 2015, I decided to take an opportunity in North Georgia Mountains and work with a project with one of the towns up there to elevate their vineyards. So Lyle's the love of my life, we decided, why not move up there a little bit earlier so we get to know the town and the personality and how we can help. So we decided to do that. And 6 weeks was full of that honeymoon bliss. Everything was wonderful. It was like you're in a Hallmark movie. Everything was grand. I was able to connect with more people. I actually built a food and wine club there. And I had a following in a good way. Like, it was very community driven. But once several community members realized I'm not just there for a season, but I'm there to lay my roots down, they decided bullying me because I didn't realize at the time when we moved there that it was a KKK community. And once they found out that I had a brick and mortar, they would harass me and they would send like a cop in and saying, where is her papers? Show us your insurance, show us everything, and how to get the mayor involved. I actually got that cop fired.
Wow. You know, it's trauma, right? It's trauma. Here, you and Lyle are moving to this little town and you're in your glory and food and wine. And here this happens. It must have rattled you.
You know, it really did, Deb, because in that moment when I was being harassed, and I don't really tell a lot of people this story, but now I'm okay with it because with everything with BLM and just the whole world right now. Mm-hmm. Everyone has their story, especially me being Black American. And I could share this when it's right in front of your face. And the love of my life is Italian, you know, it's white. So mm-hmm. when they see that, they didn't like that either. I mean, I'm going to say the town did have Black people in it, but there was not interracial. So I feel like it hit harder even more because of the relationship I have, you know, I have a Lyle. And it was a little bad. And I will just have to say it tested my faith. Like, and I mentioned to you earlier, I'm a believer. Yeah. And the fact that we did immerse ourselves into a new community and we lived in the mountains. And every day I would wake up at 6 a.m., go into my meditation and prayer room and pray every day. And when this was happening, I didn't stop praying. And I will say that moment shaped me to who I am today, being strong. Not allowing anyone to tell me what and what not I can do, and just doing everything with grace and purpose.
And share with me a little bit, because I think women of faith are also becoming more vocal about the role that faith plays in their lives and in their businesses. And I know I've had the pleasure of working with some women ministers recently. Ambassador Susan Johnson Cook is a good friend of mine. And what role does your faith play in your business, or does it have a role in your business?
It's the key role, because the way I look at life is like, you know, God's first. That's just me, my faith, God is, and then others, and then yourself. That's just the way I look at my life. So when I built Liba, I made sure there was a spiritual component, because a good amount of my clients are Jewish, mm-hmm. some are Buddhist, and then others are Christian. And I will say they all respect my religion and I respect their religion. And one thing I will say that we all rise together. And my team, my internal team, we're all believers. And that's another thing I love too, is that we're all on this spiritual journey together. So when we have our celebratory moments, like, it's all about just giving thanks to God, especially my directors, my event director and my photography director. When I say we're believers, we're the ones that are believers. We are the ones that have faith in God. My other girls are amazing. They're very spiritual. And I never try to weaver anyone in and out of faith. I just, I respect their faith. And I tell them, I'm so happy to be a part of your journey. And if I'm able to inspire you, wonderful. If not, it's okay. I always say that because I don't want them thinking, oh, no, you can definitely share your faith with me because we're here to learn. We have two ears for a reason, is to listen. So, But I will say anytime big moments happen, the directors, we all are just like, we are so grateful. We're so grateful that God has put us together. And we just always say that. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge role in my agency.
Yeah, voicing. I think it's so important too, just voicing your gratitude, no matter what your faith is, right? So I think most women entrepreneurs I know that I've come into contact with believe in a higher power or, you know, the universe or forces that are bigger than we are, whether or not you call it God. And many of the women that I work with are also mission driven. They feel like they're fulfilling a calling, that they're fulfilling a mission and a purpose that they were meant to do. And to do that means that, you know, it's not just your little human brain who's operating at the wheel here, but we all have a connection to a higher purpose, and that there's God who is ordering my steps. And I heard one of my minister clients say that, and I think it's from one of the Psalms. I'm not a big Bible person, but order my steps. And it's so comforting and calming to know that you're not alone on this path, that there's a bigger force behind you. And that gives you a sense of comfort, power. How do you describe it to you?
It gives you a sense of being grounded. I would say grounded. It gives you your grounded moment and aligned with yourself. And I would say your power, but being powerful towards what's purposeful for you. And the comfort.
Powerful towards what's purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's next for you, my friend, as you're guided along this path and doing important things, and you have the biggest heart of anyone I've ever met, what is your latest creation or the latest initiative that you're most excited about?
Well, right now, in this very, very moment, I'm so excited about my passion project. It's called the Libra Care Kit. And this Libra Care Kit was conceived in March amongst the midst of COVID. And I decided to create something to help our frontline workers, create something to show gratitude and give them love during their darkest moments, even though they're helping other people during their darkest moments. But when they get home, you don't know what they're going through. So I decided, why not create a kit that when they get home, they can always look at this kit and be reminded of self-care and that they're cared about. So in the midst of me planning this, I had several of my partner gems, I call them partner gems at Libra, which are woman makers, and they do a lot of skincare products, wellness products. And they all came up to me, Tia, what's going on? What are you doing during this time? How can we all pivot? Can you help me? And I thought to myself, because knowing me, I always love helping my friends. Especially during this time of uncertainty. And I said, you know what? I'm going to create a kit. And in this kit, I want to go ahead and put your handcrafted products in. So our community members can support you at the same time gifting it to a frontliner in need. And they're all women, all female-based craftsmen, you could say.
And so what's in the kit? Tell us what's in the kit.
And okay.
And shout out to the companies that have... that have their products in the kit. Let's give them some love.
Well, I'm really excited to share with the world what's in our lovable kit. We have Dirty Beauty Skincare, Wax and Cara, Thrive East, So Be It, Peru Home, Efrizi, and I cannot forget about the lovable Lauren Liz Photography. She actually captured every single product that's going in this kit. So I'm just super honored to have all of these wellness brands a part of my mission and vision, and looking forward to continuing our efforts to celebrate our frontline nurses as well as women-owned businesses.
So important. Both initiatives are so important, you know, especially women-owned businesses right now. It's great to have a resource where we know we're supporting businesses owned by other women and supporting our nurses on the front line. So it's a great initiative. Tia, what's the website address again where we can order these kits to ship to ourselves, ship to someone we love?
So you will be able to order them on Liebe Cares, L-I-E-B-E Cares, C-A-R-E-S.com. Now, let me mention one thing, Deb. With this kit, even though you're going to order it for yourself, we will pair you up with a nominated nurse that we've been spotlighting over the weeks. So you'll be able to know who she is, her story, and her email information or his email information, where you'll be able to share a bit of love to them via email.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love, 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 love this initiative. And I love you, my friend.
Oh, I love you too. Thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of your world and sharing a little bit about me and Liebe to the world. And I really do appreciate you, Deb. You're wonderful.
Oh, appreciate you too, Tia. So that is Liebe, L-I-E-B-E, cares.com, correct?
Yes.
So go there now and grab one of these kits, show some nurse some love. And Tia, it's such a pleasure to spend this time with you. And I can't wait till I can give you a hug in real life.
Same here. Thank you so much, Deb. And I wish you a wonderful season ahead and everyone else too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wasn't Tia amazing? I love hearing all these stories of women entrepreneurs who have each carved their own path. And Tia was able to overcome ageism by being too young when she first started out, racism by being bullied in a town that didn't welcome her mixed relationship. And she has persevered to create a thriving PR and marketing business. So she's such a role model to look up to and someone to refer to too. And before I let you go, my friend, I want to highlight for you that there are two things available to you. One is that expert pricing calculator that you can download to model out your packages and pricing strategies and get a clear idea of just how many prospects you'll need to welcome into your circle in order to reach that revenue goal. And that is gold for any coach or consultant or service provider who wants to ensure that they're impacting the people they want to impact. And on September 15th, the day this show drops, I am hosting a Fresh Out of Corporate Pricing Masterclass. So be sure to look for that if you join me in the Facebook group, Life After Corporate. There'll be a link to the event there. Jump over there, sign up. We're getting online at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific time. Join us and let's roll up our sleeves, go over the 5 pricing mistakes people tend to make and 3 strategies that you can employ today to improve your prices. And who doesn't want to raise? That's it for now, my friends. I will see you again real soon. Talk to you later. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.